This is Owen John Collings, interviewed by Chris Alden Lee on the 1st of May 2012. Owen John Collings, Part 2.
So we got to the point in your story, John, where you decided to leave the Falklands and head south again.
Yes.
I guess you had to resign, did you?
Yes, I had to resign, and I had to pay me airfare and everything else square up.
To go from where to where?
Well, from England to the Falklands.
How much was that?
Well, at that time, it was only £200 or £300.
Yeah, that was a lot of money, though,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was a lot of money. But I thought, well, I'd rather do that than stop here with this woman, like, you know.
Right.
And that's what happened. Yeah. Yeah.
So where did we go to first?
We went to Signy Island. All the crowd of us, and we built a big refrigerator there. And then we were all due to go to Halley Bay. Mm-hmm. And we went on two different ships, actually, I think it was. And John goes where they wintered, and I stopped there for a couple of weeks to get the parts of the hut up.
This was the 1966 rebuild, is that right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then...
what do you make of Halley? Because it's very different from the West Coast, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, when we got there, we went down the old base huts, down steep ladders.
Yeah.
You know. But I don't think I would have liked to have wintered there because, you know. But anyway, we did stop for 2 weeks. Might have been three. I don't know how many we did, but anyway... We were due to go back up to Stonington then. And we did eventually sail. And we were the first ship to go up through the Weddell without any ice.
Well, ice free?
Yeah, ice free. Yeah.
Do you know why that was?
I don't know. But they told us that this is the first time a ship has gone up ice free. Yeah. And then we went on. And then... That's when I'd have built the hut in Port Stanley for the diesel shed. So, and I wintered at Stonington for the, you know, there, and I had a very good year there.
That was quite a big base, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
What do you remember of Stonington?
Well, I mean, we had the hut there, and further down... There was the hut still remaining of the first American and his wife that went down the Antarctic.
Bird?
No. I can't think of their name, but they wintered down there, and their huts were still there.
And oh, you mean Finn Ronnie?
That's right, yeah. Because his wife was with him, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And the huts have been... Anyway, a lot of us had eventually dug the huts out to keep the seals in it. You know, the carcasses.
Oh, right.
It was all iced up.
So we're using the American base as a meat store.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me, describe Stonington Base to me. What was it like when you walked through the door?
Well, there was the... While I was there, I put a kitchen on. So we had a proper kitchen. And then there was the...
You mean an extension?
Yeah, extension. Yeah. And then there was the bunk room or the lounge... You know, all downstairs with the rooms for the scientist chaps. And then you went upstairs and there was your bunk rooms upstairs, you know. Yeah. And then you could, well, go out and there was the diesel shed I built just outside, like, you know.
They tell me it's a lovely spot.
Oh, yeah, well, I enjoyed it there, you know. Yes. Yeah, because there was the remains of another... base huts down there. In fact, I think Fuchs had been there.
Yeah.
He got caught down there, didn't he? I'm sure there was the remains of where he that you know. And that was one of the first things I'd done when I went to Stonington. Prior to me getting there, they'd lost 3 or 4 men, dogs and all, killed. And I put a plaque up. I expect it's still there today. And one of them was a Freemason from Scotland.
Right. This is the Noel. Is this Noel and Alan? Or
no. These were they survived. I think. I don't know who. There was two or three of them killed with the dog teams prior to me going there. They were out in the, whether the sea ice broke up or what, I don't know.
Right. Would this be the story of the men who went off over the sea ice and never came back?
Yeah. I think what they'd done, you're always told to go from A to B, B to C. And apparently they went from... And a storm came up and...
Blew the ice out.
Yeah.
And some of the dogs came back, didn't they?
I don't know.
You don't know? I don't know.
That's
the one we're talking about.
Yeah, that'd be the one then. Yeah.
But it was rather a bit grisly putting up a plaque for men who'd lost their house, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes. But one, well, it's a brass plaque. It had come down from... Well, I'll say he was a Freemason, one of them. Yeah.
Are you a Freemason?
No. God.
Yes, you mentioned it quite a lot.
Oh, no.
You had dog trips out to Horseshoe and Fossil Bluff as well.
Yeah, that's where we went. Yeah, Horseshoe, yeah, Fossil Bluff. Well, I didn't go with the dog teams to Fossil Bluff. I flew down.
Are you, even then?
Yeah. Yeah.
In what? A Cessna?
No. Oh, dear. It was what the Swiss used to have.
Right.
Can't think of it. No, I flew down there. I didn't...
Go on.
I didn't...
A Twin Otter?
No, it wasn't a Twin Otter when I went down there. Mm. No. And then we spent the summer going all the way around, you know, with the survey teams. They'd go up one point, we'd go up another one, and then they'd do it with a magnetometer.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if you went to Fossil Bluff, there's no runway as such, was there?
No, well, they land on the sea ice, don't they, you see? Ah. Yeah, because it's Stonington they landed, but there was no...
No runway.
No runway, no. No.
What more can you tell me? Describe Fossil Bluff when you...
Well, when we got there, all it is a hut up on the thing. But as soon as we got there, we loaded up. We had... I don't know how they got there down there. A track vehicle we had down there. We had an army driver driving it. And then there was a dog teams as well down there. Yeah. I don't know how they got that down there. Can't ever remember. But anyway, it was there. And we used that for the... Because the ice was quite... doings. And the Americans had been there and done it with the air. And we were down there doing the ground things. You used to climb up the mountains and right up the top and, you know.
So the surveyors are putting in the fixed points, the fixes, yeah. Were they?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever have any bad nights out on the in the field, so to speak?
No. We always had... Well, I've never had any bad...
Never got laid over, laid up?
No. No, never had no troubles at all down there for medical.
No. So I'm thinking also whether the weather turned against you and you were stuck in your tent for several days.
We've had that when we went out on that long trip down to, you know, with the three of us, we were laid up perhaps a couple of days.
Mm.
But nothing.
Sounds like the Antarctic's treated you quite kindly, hasn't it?
Oh, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it.
You were due to go back to Deception Island, weren't you, at one point?
Yes.
In 68?
But, of course, the explosion.
The eruption.
The eruption. So they put me over to Adam. They said, do you want to go home? I said, no. So they put me over at Adelaide for the winter. And there was another carpenter there from Scotland. And the two of us done a bar and done something else there.
Oh, you built the bar at Adelaide, did you?
And then, of course, they came.
Who was a Scotsman you worked with? Do you remember his name?
Oh, I can't think of what he was called. A chap with glasses. He came from Arbroath.
All right, never mind.
And then, of course, then in the summer, they came down and extended it with the plastic things. The sheds, you know. Yeah. The Wasnane came down. His brothers, the big horse jumping man. Alan Smith.
Right. Oh, Harvey Smith.
Harvey Smith, yeah. Well, Alan was a carpenter.
Right.
And he came down on this job. And that's how we were talking about, we had an Irish chap there that was getting more money than me and him. And we had to go in the mornings to getting out of bed.
Oh, really?
And because he had his city and goals.
Oh, right.
And we'd have been down there 3 years. Mm. And he was getting more money than, you know.
So what was the timber, how was it working with timber in low temperatures or even minus temperatures? Did it present any problems?
No, no problems at all. But what they'd done with the big huts, they'd have assembled them in England and photographed every process. Mm. So you've got...
Every step.
Every step. And when you come down there, it was all there for you to do. But the trouble was at Adelaide, they forgot to put the bolts in. And
so what do you do?
Well, they carry a lot of stuff on base. And we managed to get stuff to put it together. Yeah.
So it was a bit of a bodge job, was it?
Well, the bolts and that were kind of thing. But otherwise, everything else was there. But they, for some unknown reason, they forgot to put the bolts in. Mm. Yeah. But the one I'd done at Deception, everything was there, you know. It was... But I must say, of course, the first time, just going back to when I went down the first time on the Shackleton, there was only 9 fids there. And we went everywhere. We even landed at Elephant Island.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And we went to Anvers Island, where the Americans are.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been in that one.
No.
And there was a woman there. She comes down in the summer and she got all the jumpers and everything there. Shop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we went there. And we went to Lockroy, Port Lockroy.
Yeah.
That was before they made it a museum.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, we caught everywhere.
How well did you know the Shackleton story? If you were landing at Elephant Island, do you know the history?
We knew about him. I knew about him, yes. Yeah.
You've read about him, have you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So was it special, a special feeling to land there?
Oh, yes, it was good, really, you know. Because, you know, when I saw it the other day, there, they kind of thing, and that was the
on
beach. That's the beach that we landed on. Like, well,
is there anything remaining?
There was nothing there when we went there.
The upturned boats weren't still there.
No. Nothing there. No. So, you know, and that was on our way down to Deception. The first time, you know.
So you got transferred to Adelaide when Deception blew up.
Yes.
To do general base work. And I think there weren't quite as many FIDs as they were expecting, were there?
No. We had a few there, but I got a feeling that's where the that chap I was talking about, it didn't fit in.
Yeah.
He wintered, and the base commander had him not deported, but
sent home,
and he went up to the Andes climbing, and he fell off,
right.
Got killed.
I've got a note here which says that the numbers at Adelaide were down due to the loss of the porter and the crew having to winter at the Fossil Bluff. Does that ring any bells? Well, the porter was a plane, I guess.
Yeah, she was a plane, that's right. I think that could have been the one that we went down on. But she only carried 2 crew.
Hmm.
But I got a feeling that was the year that I was at Stonington.
Right. The year before?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was in 67 at Stonington.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's this about somebody called Don Parnell finding Victor on the radio?
Yeah, Don Parnell was the base commander.
At Adelaide?
Yes.
Is this Victor Sylvester?
Yeah, for me.
Was it?
Yes. Every Saturday afternoon? Yes.
On the World Service?
Yes.
Was this a special request from you?
Yeah, I said to Don, yeah, so we... Every Saturday afternoon, I think it was Saturday afternoons, he got me and I shut myself in the radio cabin and listened to it.
Were you dancing?
No. I just sat there. Yeah, that's right.
That must have felt a bit strange to suddenly hear the Palm Court Trio or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, Victor Fesser was a big orchestra, wasn't it? You know, but no, I it just you know, something there, like, you know.
Did you have much connection with life away from the rest of the world?
I mean, no, because I mean, you add your 100 words or whatever it was, or 20 words a month, and that was all, like, you know. Yeah, we never had the news on much, so we were just, you know.
You didn't know about the Cuban Missile Crisis or the...
No, nothing like that, no.
Berlin Wall or...
No. It was just our own little world.
At the end of that year, that was 68, what was then... What were the options open to you then, John?
Well, I'd have done me 2 winters and 3 summers, so I was coming home then for good then.
That was Bass Rules, was it?
Well, no, I think some of them stopped, but the majority was... I think the majority done, you know, the two... Well, it was about 3 years nearly, isn't it?
2.5 years, yeah. I called it. And they didn't offer you any more time and you didn't want to stay any longer?
No, because... Well, mother was a widow then, kind of thing, with her been a widow for years. So I thought, well, I'll come home, like, you know. Yeah.
How was that for you to come back to Britain after all that time?
Oh, it was different.
In what way?
Well, I don't know, really. I suppose there's more people home here than just a few that you're associated with down there, like.
So were things changing that much in the 60s? I mean, you were away.
Most of the 60s, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You miss the Beatles.
Yeah. But we had all the records and stuff like that come down, you know. I mean, you could order... I was the food minister, where for? Hope Bay. So you ordered all your food and you got your records, and we had some wonderful collections of stuff there. Oh, yeah.
Were you ordering Victor Sylvester records?
No. No.
So, what way was? I mean, you left Paignton to go south, and you came back to Paignton.
Mm.
I can't imagine Paignton changed that much in 10 years.
Oh no, it hadn't. No. And I was lucky; I got some work when I come back, and I've been like it ever since, really. But of course, now I'm retired now. So,
were you freelancing around? Were you?
Well, I went self-employed.
Yeah. Was there anything you learnt in your Antarctic and Falkland years which you felt was useful in later life?
Well, I think when I was down in the Antarctic, I learnt to be patient, because I used to be very fiery-tempered.
Right.
And I even met the boss at Port Stanley that time when we brought all the huts back from to put them up. And he took John away. I lost my reg then, and he was the boss.
Mm.
And I even went in and asked how much it was to resign, to go home, you know. But I didn't, because I couldn't afford it. But
was that a low point?
It was at the time, but then you go out at night with the lads, or, you know, with the crowd, and it was all right.
A few beers later, it's all right again, is it?
Well, yeah. I didn't drink much, but I did drink.
You did, you that know? Night.
Yeah. But everybody, it was funny, because there was houses close to us.
Mm.
And the lady I knew her was going to come out. Anyhow, I heard the row start. And they opened their door and just stood there and listened, you know. Of course, it gets all over Stanley, doesn't it, when you have a row.
So you learned some patience whilst you were...
Oh, yes.
Down south.
Yes, yeah. Because I used to be a bit of a bee for quick-tempered, like, you know. Yeah.
Did you pick up any skills down there which you were able to employ back here?
Not really, you know. It's just what I learned up back here I could use down there, and it was all the same, like, you know. Yeah. No, I enjoyed it, you know, because, you know, it worked in very well.
Did he miss it?
Oh, I did for a while, because it was so good. Yeah, or I thought it was good, you know. John thought it was as well, I think.
So List me some of the good points. What was so good about living and working in the Falklands and in the Antarctic? What were the pluses?
Well, you're kind of more or less your own boss. And you were seeing all different stuff all the time. And like Port Stanley and that, you got to know everybody. And that's what, you know, all friendly and, you know.
And back here, wasn't it the same back here?
Well, you get your little cliques. It was like in the badminton clubs when I got back here, there was cliques. Mm. But over there, there wasn't. It was all friendly.
That's because there weren't enough people to form cliques.
Well, I suppose so, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I really loved it over there, really, you know. Because I suppose if the marriage had gone ahead, I might have still been there.
Well, you did get married in the end, didn't you?
I've got married to Diane, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 40 years. Oh, just gone 40 years we've been married.
So you got married quite late at 44?
Oh, yes. Yeah. 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 I used to go dancing school, you know, and I met her over there, like, you know. Yeah. But we've got on well, so.
So looking back over your life, I usually ask this question last of all.
Yeah.
How do the Antarctic years rate in your life?
Oh, I would think myself one of the best.
Right.
Yes. Because, you know, I've said to my wife one year, I said, I've been to the end of the rainbow. We did really go the sea ice. We went to the end of, course, there's no pot of gold, but I mean, we did, we did. You know, and I mean, all the times of, I mean, one day we were, had we been laying depots at Hope Bay? But we'd have done the most miles that particular trip that anybody had done in a day and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, right, so you broke records?
Well, somebody broke it after us.
Yeah.
But we'd done 50 or 60 that day because of sea ice, like, you know, yeah.
You've been to the end of the rainbow, you've been to the end of the planet, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Or nearly.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I really, really enjoyed it.
Have you kept in touch with many people? Do you go to reunions?
I only went, one reunion was at Hope Bay.
In 96?
96, whenever it was. And the trouble is that I've only got a small car. And you got to, you know, travel up there all the time. And now I keep whipping in hospital for angina and heart attacks. So it's, you know.
A bit far.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of television coverage over the winter, wasn't there? Just gone about Amundsen and Scott.
Yeah.
And a bit about Shackleton as well. And Frank Wilde.
Yeah.
What did you feel about looking at all that?
Oh, I like that one of Wild. I thought was very good, very good.
This is Paul Rose's documentary on television.
Yes, yes.
He was a FID, you know.
Was he?
Yeah. Oh, he's a base commander.
Oh, well, I'm learning.
A few years back.
Yeah. Oh yes, I rather like that. And especially when they went to South Georgia and all that there, because I've been there and seen it all and all that, you know, and I really, you know, liked it, you know. I thought it was very good. Because some of them, I mean, this, what the Wild one was like a real as it was. But some, they put it all, you know, glossy or something. And it don't, and it isn't the same, you know.
It was proper reality TV.
It was. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much,
and you,
John. Thank you.
Yeah.